Good morning, friends. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church in the Santa Clarita Valley. I'm here with my friend Stephen Masters from Granada Hills Community Church. We're here with the prayerful support of our pastors and elders, and we're here to proclaim to you this day the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is no other good news. For there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. No other religious leader, no other God created in the imaginations of men can do anything for you but to make you a greater slave of sin. The only one who can set you free is Jesus Christ the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who is with the Father in creation, and who, through whom and to whom and for whom all things were created. Nothing was created, nothing came into existence that was not created by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other Savior, there is no other Lord, there is no other Master, there is no other King, there is no other God. Every God represented by other religions in the world are merely either the creations of the imaginations of sinful men or demonic presences. There is only one God. There is only one lawgiver and judge. There is only one who is able to save and destroy, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. The God of Mormonism cannot save you because the God of Mormonism is a false God. The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses cannot save you because the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses is a false God. The God of Islam cannot save you because the God of Islam is a false God. None of the religions of the world can do anything for you but make you a greater slave to sin. It is the truth that will set you free. And Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way to eternal life. There is no other way to forgiveness of sin but through Jesus Christ and through his finished work on the cross. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Good works will not help you. The Word of God says that it is by grace we are saved, through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. It is only by faith that anyone is declared righteous or just before God. And it is only through the sacrificial death and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that any person will be saved. And what God commands of you and all people everywhere today is that you repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I'm going to read this morning out of the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 1. Gospel John, chapter 1. May God bless the reading of his word, and may he give you ears to hear. God's word tells us this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They're free, sir. We have Bibles that are free. The blue ones are in Spanish. The brown ones are in English. Please help yourself. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The Word of God. Good morning, brother. John begins his gospel account of the life of Jesus Christ by writing in no uncertain terms. Why are you shaking your head, young man? Why are you shaking your head? Do you not believe what I'm telling you? Do you not believe this is true? Actually, young man, you do. You do believe this is true. But you merely suppress the truth by your unrighteousness. It is because you love your sin. You know that God exists. You know that you will one day stand before Him to give an account. But because you love your sin and you hate God, you foolishly shake your head as if that changes reality. God does exist, young man, and it's only the fool who says in his heart that there is no God. That's what the Word of God says. Only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So stop being foolish, turn from your pride, turn from your arrogance, turn from your sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God has given you time. John testifies in his gospel account, in no uncertain terms whatsoever, that Jesus Christ was not merely a man, he was not merely a good teacher, he was not merely a prophet, he was and he is and he always will be God in the flesh. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There is but only one God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And as John testifies in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is He. Jesus Christ is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God. But like the young man who was standing here a moment ago, shaking his head, the darkness hates the light. Those who are in darkness hate the light. Just like when you turn on a light in a house or a kitchen infested with cockroaches, what do the cockroaches do when you turn on the light? They flee because they hate the light. And so is the case with those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Whenever the light of the truth comes anywhere close to them, to their conscience, they flee. They shake their heads. They stop their ears. They stomp their feet and they say, "There is no God." And then they flee from the light. But the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus came to the people of Israel. Jesus came to the people of God, and they rejected him. They waited for their Messiah. They knew their Messiah would come. Their prophets, their scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they knew that the prophets testified to the coming of the Messiah, where he would be born, of what family he would be from, and what he would come to do. And when Jesus came, when the light came into the world, he was rejected by his own people. Why? Because the people loved the darkness rather than the light. They loved their sin more than they loved God. They loved themselves more than they loved God. And instead of worshiping the God who came into their presence, instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, who came for the salvation of the world, they killed him. They murdered him. Instead of submitting to the truth and the reality that Jesus is the Christ, in order so that they could continue to worship Moses and the law, in order so that they could continue to worship themselves, to love themselves more than they love God, they killed Jesus Christ. they butchered him on the cross. So badly mutilated was his body that he could barely be recognized as human. Why? Because they loved their sin and they hated God. Because they loved themselves and they hated God. Because they loved the darkness and they hated the light. And such is the case for people today, my friends. If you deny Jesus as the Christ, if you scoff at the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you too love the darkness and you hate the light. You might claim to be enlightened because you believe that you have risen above the belief in God, that you are too intellectual, that you are too smart, that you are too sophisticated to believe in God. But all you're really revealing about yourself is that you love darkness, that you love blindness, that you would rather be blind in your sin than have your eyes open, that you would rather live in darkness than come to the glorious light who is Jesus Christ. But my friends, God has overlooked the days of ignorance and now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Your ignorance of the truth or your denial of the truth will not serve you on the day of judgment as a defense. So when you stand before God, He's not going to judge you based on how you see yourself. He's not going to judge you based on the excuses you have made in your mind. He's going to judge you according to the perfect moral standards of His law. And He has given us a summary of that law in the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is this: you shall have no other God but the one true God. The Word of God commands all people to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there is only one God. There is not a God of Islam. There is not a God of Mormonism. There is not a God of the Jehovah's Witnesses. There are not millions of gods of the Buddhists. There is not the false God that Oprah has created in her mind. Those are all either imaginations of men or they are demonic forces. There is only one God. There is only one Creator. And God has commanded you this day to worship Him. Yes, that's true, young man. No matter how much you shake your head, it will never change the truth. It will never change the truth, young man. You know that God exists, but in your hardened heart, you foolishly deny Him. But you will one day stand before Him to give an account, as all of us will. All of us will stand before God and give an account for our lives. And if we have worshipped anyone or anything other than the one true Creator God who has created us, He will find us guilty of breaking His law, and He will punish our sin. And the second commandment is like it. You will not make for yourself any idols. You will not carve any graven images and bow down to worship them. Now, maybe here in the sophisticated West, you haven't carved something out of metal or wood or stone and bowed down to worship it. But there is a more prevalent form of idolatry here in the West than anywhere else in the world, and that is idolatry of the mind. When you fashion a God in your own imagination to suit yourself. A God that you like, a God that you could tolerate, a God that you ultimately do not have to submit to, but a God who submits to you. That is idolatry. And no idolater will enter into the kingdom of God. The third commandment is that you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You will not take the name of the God who has given you life and bring His name down low as if it's of no value. You will not blaspheme His name by giving Him other names like Allah or the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the God of any other religion. You will not blaspheme Him by bringing His name down low, by using His name irreverently. Think about it. If you get a little angry on the bus today or on the train, if you experience a little road rage when you're driving down the street, whose name are you likely to shout? Are you going to shout Allah? No. Are you going to shout Osama bin Laden? No. Are you going to shout Adolf Hitler? No. Are you going to shout George Bush? No. Are you going to shout Obama? No. Are you going to shout your mother's name? No. You're going to shout the name of the God who has given you life and bring His name down low as if it's of no value. And the Word of God says He will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain, for his name is holy. One of God's commands is that we shall honor our mother and father, and it doesn't say only if our parents are honorable. In fact, it's the first commandment in the Word of God with a promise that if you honor your parents, that your life will be blessed. But who among us can say that we have not dishonored our parents sometime in life, regardless of our age? We lied to our parents, we barked at our parents, we disobeyed our parents. God sees that as sin. Why? Because God is Father. God is the Father. And therefore, that familial, that parental relationship is dear to God, and He commands us to honor our parents. And it doesn't matter what your excuses are for not honoring your parents. And again, God doesn't say honor them only if they're honorable. You are to honor your parents. And who among us can say that we have been the perfect child growing up? None of us can. God's Word says you shall not murder. Half the murders committed in the United States go unsolved each year. Half of all the murders committed in the United States go unsolved each year. The reality is that there could be some murderers standing in our midst. But the reality is that there are likely many murderers standing in our midst. In fact, maybe all of us are murderers in this sense. God's Word says if you hate another person, you are a murderer. Anyone who hates their brother is a murderer. You see, my friends, God not only considers our actions, He considers the condition of our heart. If we've hated anybody, if we've held anybody in derision, if we've had bitterness or anger in our hearts toward another human being, and we've held on to that bitterness, God sees that as hatred. And God sees hatred as a murder. The Word of God commands us not to steal. Alright, so maybe you haven't shoplifted from Walmart, but have you taken 8 hours pay for 7 hours work? Have you fudged your timesheet a little bit because you came in late and you didn't want to tell your boss? And so you took 8 hours pay for 7 hours work? Cheat a little bit on your taxes because you think everybody else does? Download music off the internet and not pay for it when you should have? An answer on a test? Stealing the intellectual property of someone else to better yourself? No thief will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If we have lied, we have sinned against God. Now you might hear that and think, well, surely God is not going to judge for something as small as a lie. But consider this. If you lie to a small child, the likelihood is that child's not going to be able to punish you even though it's wrong. If I go home and lie to my wife, I could end up sleeping on the couch. Go to work today and lie to my boss, I could lose my job. Stand before a judge in a courtroom and lie to him, and I could go to prison. It's still just a lie. What's changed is who the offense is against. God is infinitely holy and righteous and just. Therefore, any sin against Him, no matter how small we've made it in our own mind, is infinitely sinful to an infinitely holy God. Now you might hear these commands and think, well, I still consider myself to be a good person. Well, you're lying to yourself. You're deluding yourself. Because the Word of God says there is none who is good. No, not one. All of us have turned aside. Together we have become useless. There is none who seek after God. Good morning, brother. Good to see you. My friends, no one is good. God's standard for goodness is moral perfection. Yes, you might be relatively good compared to other people, but my friends, you need to understand there are nicer people than you and me in hell today. Nobody goes to heaven by being nice. Nobody goes to heaven by being good, because none of us can live up to God's standard. Jesus said you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I don't live up to that standard, and neither do you. But God doesn't lower that standard simply because we're unable to live up to it. God is holy, and we are not. God is good, and we are not. God is righteous. Come on, Rick. God is righteous, and we are not. And that is why we need a Savior. The law of God shows us our inability to keep the law. The law of God shows us that we need a Savior. And because God is good, because He is holy and righteous and just, He will and He must punish sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, my friend Stephen and I are not out here today because we want that for you or anybody else. We don't want anybody to perish in their sin. There's nothing we can do about it. We're not your judge, and we are not your Savior. But we know the one who is, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And the same God who is angry with the wicked every day, the same God whose wrath abides upon the ungodly, the same God who will judge the world in righteousness, is the same God, for there is only one, is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. The same God who is angry with sinners and will punish sin is the same God who loves sinners and will forgive sinners. But God is not arbitrary in His forgiveness. God will not simply turn a blind eye to your sin and just say, "Oh, okay, I'll set you free," and then punish someone else. God will judge with equity. God is perfect in His judgment. God will not be bribed. What's that? What's evil? How do you know that's evil? That's not evil, sir. That's not evil. He's dressed in medical garments. Man, I hope he has more compassion for people than he has for God. I hope his hatred of God does not carry over to his hatred of people. But that's what people do. They mock God. They hold God in derision while they consider themselves to be good. They call evil good and they call good evil. He says, God is evil for punishing people in hell for all eternity. Who is He, a created being, to determine what or who God is? Who is He, a convicted criminal like the rest of us, for all of us have sinned, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, who is He to judge the judge of the universe? What that man did was every bit as foolish as a convicted criminal walking into a courtroom, having been found guilty of breaking the law, and saying to the judge, "Judge, I want you to step down from your bench because I'm going to prosecute you. I'm going to judge you. I'm going to punish you." What foolishness is that? Now, the reason this man believes that God is evil for punishing sin is because this man calls evil good and good evil. Because he knows he himself is evil like the rest of us. He's not good, I'm not good, none of us are good according to God's eyes. And so, in order to appease his own sinful conscience, he declares that God is evil. You're a blasphemer, sir, and one day you will stand before God to give an account for your life. And I don't want you to perish in your sin. I don't want you to go to hell, sir. I don't. I hope that God will open your eyes. I hope that God will soften your foolish, hardened heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I hope that God will save you. Even a hater of God like you are, I hope that God will save you. I don't want you to perish in your sin. But this man, like everybody else, will one day stand before God to give an account for his blasphemy. And he will not be arguing his case on that day. He will be on his face begging for mercy, but there will be no mercy for him unless God intervenes. Yes, the same God who will punish that man's sin is the same God who can save that man from his sin. And that is the purpose of the cross. That happened at the cross. That is where justice and mercy kissed, was at the cross. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, and without sin. Unlike you and me, unlike the foolish man on the bus, He never once violated God's law. He was, and He is, and He always will be, the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Unlike me, unlike the man on the bus, unlike the rest of us, He lived a perfect life that we cannot live. He was and is good, because He alone is God. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death He did not deserve, to take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. He is alive today, and He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And what God commands of you and me, my friends, is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The Apostle John wrote, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." My friends, you do not give yourself the right to be a child of God. God gives that right. And only those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are children of God. Everyone else is a child of wrath, and the wrath of God abides on them. That is what the Word of God says. Yes, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we have all been created in the image of God. But only those whom God has given the right to be His children, only those whom God has adopted through His love and His grace, are children of God. No church gives you the right to be a child of God. No religion gives you the right to be the child of God. Only God gives that right. No one is a child of God because of their blood. No one is a child of God because of their national heritage. No one is a child of God because they are black. No one is a child of God because they are white. No one is a child of God because they are Asian. No one is a child of God because they're Hispanic. No one is a child of God because of the family they were born into. No one is a child of God because of their social economic status. No one is a child of God because they're poor. No one is a child of God because they are rich. Only those whom God has given a right to be called His children are His children. And the only way that a person can be a child of God is through faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. It is not by your blood. It's not by your birth. John writes, it's not by the will of the flesh. Your religion will never make you right with God. Your rituals, your religious practices, whether it's a Catholic church or a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church, filling a pew on Sunday will not make you a child of God. My friends, you could go up to In-N-Out Burger here in Lancashire, and you could go 7 days a week and eat a double-double, and you will never become a hamburger as long as you live. You will never become a hamburger because you eat In-N-Out every day. And you will never become a child of God simply because you are religious. Simply because you go to a particular church or synagogue or temple or whatever other kind of religious house of worship you may go to. It's not in the will of the flesh. There is nothing you can do to make yourself a child of God. Nor is it of your will. Your will does not determine whether or not you will be a child of God. It is the will of God. It is God who saves. It is God who determines whom He will adopt as His beloved children. For God is sovereign. Man is not. Religion is not sovereign. God is sovereign. God decides whom He will save. God decides whom He will adopt. God decides whom He will forgive. And it is all by His grace. It is all by His mercy. He doesn't look at you and how you dress and where you work or where you live to determine whether or not He will save you. It's not on the basis of anything you do or I do in righteousness that determines whether or not we will be saved. It's not a decision based on our will. Okay, I guess I'll accept God today. My friends, God does not need your acceptance. God does not need your acceptance. You need His. God is not lonely without you. God is not empty without you. God is not missing anything without you. You need Him. I need Him. And He has provided only one way for us to escape His justice and His holy wrath. He has provided only one way for us to receive forgiveness of our sins. And it's not through our blood. It is not through our religious practices. It is not through our will. It is through God's grace. It is through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And to all who receive Him, to all who believe in His name, not simply intellectually, shouting Jesus on a Sunday morning to loud music and then living like hell Monday through Saturday, not hypocrisy, but actually knowing Him. Those who believe in His name, it is those whom God has given the right to be children of God. And it is entirely of the Lord. Salvation is entirely of the Lord. God does not owe us anything but wrath for our sins against Him. That's all God owes us. But because He is gracious, because He's merciful, because He's kind, because He's good, He extends to some the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And He allows them to be His children, to adopt, be adopted as His children. So great is God's love that He allowed His one and only Son to take on the form of human flesh, to humble Himself to the point of taking on human flesh, and then facing even greater humiliation by allowing Himself to be murdered by His own creation, so that He could take upon Himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sins against God. God the Father made Him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, so that through Him we might receive, we might become the righteousness of God. God the Father looked at His perfect, precious, and priceless Son as if He had lived our filthy, sin-stained lives. And for those whom He has called to be His children, for those whom He has caused to be born again, for those whom He has given the gifts of repentance and faith, He looks upon their lives as if they had lived His Son's perfect, precious, and priceless life. My friends, when you die and stand before God, if all God sees is the filthy garments of your sin, you are going to receive what you and I deserve for our sin, and that is eternity in hell. But if God sees you clothed in the beautiful righteousness of His Son, if His righteousness has been imputed to us, has been credited to our account by God's grace, then we will receive what we do not deserve, which is God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. And that is good news. That is good news. And my friends, if you do not hear that as good news, if you do not hear that as a message of love, it is because you love your sin more than you love God. It is because you love yourself more than you love God. And that's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's idolatry to love anyone or anything more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will give an account for that blasphemy. You will give an account for that idolatry. And my hope for you is that you will come to your senses. That you will turn from your sin. That you will turn from your pride and your arrogance and your haughtiness. That you will turn from the arrogant belief that you are too smart to believe in and worship God. For my friends, the opposite is true if that's you. Psalm 14, Psalm 53 both say the same thing. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You do not make yourself out to be intellectually elite. You do not make yourself out to be somehow socially superior by denying the existence of God. You make yourself out to be a fool in the eyes of God. So humble yourself. My friends, that sound could be for you today. That very sound could be for you. It's appointed once for a person to die, and after that, the judgment. And they're coming here now because someone is in need of medical care. My friends, it could be you one day, and you don't know when that day is going to come. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Tomorrow is not promised. Your next breath is a gift from God. So humble yourself before Almighty God. Turn from your sin. And by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He will give you a new heart. He will take your heart of stone and He will give you a heart of flesh. And you'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates. And you'll begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Turn to Christ and live, my friends. He is your only hope. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Turn to Christ and live. Do not let your foolish hearts be darkened any longer. Do not love the darkness, love the light. And Jesus Christ is the light. And He alone is the light. Turn to Christ and live. Humble yourself. Repent of your sin. And turn to Christ and live. This world cannot promise you anything but death. Religion cannot promise you anything but slavery. The only one who can set you free is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And if you turn from your sin, you will be free indeed. All of God's promises are yes and amen. His promises to judge, His promises to save, all of His promises are yes and amen. Turn from your sin, repent, and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior while God is giving you time. And thank you for listening.
What is your name, brother?
Fred.
I'm sorry?
Fred.
Fred, good to meet you, Fred.
All right.
You're an encouragement to me every day, Fred. God bless you.
All right, that's good.
God bless you, brother. You have a great day.
All right.